Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here, sitting across from me.
It is Mike Cosentino one more time.
And we have a guest in the studio today, Jim Pollaro, and we're going to talk to him in a minute. He's got a very different perspective and a very different plan to clean up elections.
The word for the day is audacious. He has an audacious plan to clean up the money out of elections, and there's nothing. If you're reading the internet or any political newspaper magazine, everybody is talking about money and politics. But first, we want to talk about something else.
Yeah, well, I wanted to follow up on, we'll have another show about money and politics and about who's doing what. But I got a lot of questions from people, who did this ad and who did that ad and who did, this ad and where is it coming from? And I wanted to take an example, and I wanted to take an example that's not from Democrats and Republicans, an example from the Republican governor's campaign. And there's a new ad attacking Scott Smith. Scott Smith is the mayor of Mesa. He's running for governor. And it's by one of these mysteriously named groups, the Legacy Foundation Action Fund, which pretty much nobody has heard of, except that it turns out that it's based in Iowa. So why are folks in Iowa spending lots and lots of money trying to affect the primary in the Republican Party? So here's a case study. All right. The ad urges viewers to call Smith's office. Why do they do that? Because legally they can't say vote for Doug Ducey. They have to say Scott Smith is doing this or that. They've tried to follow out where the money is coming from this ad, and they haven't been able to do it. Often if we can trace the money, it's only about a year after the ads have run and gone. Right, Mike? Mm-hmm. Then we can sort of find out. This is called issue advocacy, but it's an attack on Scott Smith. All right. Here's how it works. Scott Smith is the mayor of Mesa. It's a conservative city. He's a conservative Republican. He's made a considerable achievement in Mesa in improving the economy and improving the entire situation, the cultural life in Mesa and everything else. He has a really strong record. Okay, so that's a problem because he's running against Doug Ducey. And what exactly has Doug Ducey done? Not so much. So the ad, and this goes to the Karl Rove playbook, the ad attacks him for what he's strong at. And what it accuses him of is supporting Obamacare. The mayors of the cities are generally tend to be Democratic. They tend to be pretty liberal. The U.S. Conference of Mayors has supported Obamacare, and although Scott Smith is
because
an opponent,
it's a reasonable position and it helps their citizens.
It really helps the cities. Yeah. It helps everybody. We think that everyone should support Obamacare, but Scott Smith actually doesn't. He's actually opposed to Obamacare. The ad accuses him of supporting Obamacare because he is a leader of the U.S. Conference of Mayors who has supported Obamacare. You see how that works, folks? Yeah. That kind of switch off. The reason he has this position with the U.S. Conference of Mayors is because he's been an outstanding mayor. Whether you're a Republican or Democrat, this guy's been outstanding in the way he's run the city in a kind of technical, wonkish kind of way. All right, he's run the city well. So the ad has to attack him where he's strong. This is Carvero playbook. Here he is. He's a conservative mayor. He's been elected to a leadership position in an organization that has probably a lot more Democrats than Republicans. He's a Republican. They're Democrat. They're so impressed with his work, they elect him to be mayor. So this ad then attacks him for where he's strong. It's like John Kerry was a war hero in Vietnam, so the ads, he got swift boated. The attack is always on, or not always, but usually on where the guy is actually has his strength. So this is a kind of thing. So it's a case study. It goes on in both primaries, but particularly in the Republican primary, because that's where the action is in Arizona. The ad is entirely misleading from beginning to end. You don't know who made it or why, except that it's aimed to help Doug Ducey. That's all you know. It's all dark money. So people have been asking me since we did the show last week, who did this ad? Who did that ad? A lot of the ads that we were talking about were done by the Americans for Prosperity, which is a Koch brothers front. And so I just say, if you have questions, you can go on the website. You can send us an email. We'll research who did a particular ad. So if you're seeing the ad and you want to know who did it, we'll look it up.
Steve, what about the anchor Patrick guy that was on 18 times last night?
These are Koch brother ads,
but they're all Latinos.
That's by a Koch brother front group. What do they call themselves? Libre.
Libre.
Something or other. Foundation.
Yeah.
So the Koch brothers, as we talked about last week, they have one group aimed at Latinos. They have one group aimed at young people. They have another group aimed at conservatives. It's all segmented out.
And I have to point out, and then we're going to move on here, but talk a little bit about our guests. But it's all lies. It's not just a different point of view. We moved out of, this year anyway, we moved out of the half-truths, and we moved out of the different points of view to out-and-out lies. In other words, Obamacare is costing all these jobs. All these people are losing their insurance. There's millions of people out of work because of Obamacare, which, at least according to the objective sources, like the GAO, it's a lie.
It's entirely, entirely made up stuff.
Lie.
Yes.
Is the word.
A lie. And for instance, this attack on Scott Smith, and we have a great, Democratic candidate for governor, Fred Duvall. If you want someone who I think will help bring the Arizona economy into the 21st century, you should very carefully look at Fred Duvall's background, what he has to say. But, these things go on in the primaries and stuff. Again, it's almost entirely hard to trace this. The Latino ads, this is the other thing that they do on television, is that the woman is mimicking the ideas they want you to have. I'm disappointed in Obamacare.
That's right.
Yeah, right. I mean, they want you to have that kind of a feeling. They want to exaggerate. They want to mimic your feelings and then take them in a particular direction. And advertising on television is probably the most powerful way to do this.
Well, this is a show about politics. We want to kind of talk about a little bit behind the scenes politics. In other words, we began Democratic perspective this morning talking about a Republican primary because that's where the blood's going to be. The bloody race is going to be in the Republican, and they hope not to politically bloody each other too badly so they can beat Fred Duvall.
Right. And this disgraceful ad is taking place in a primary. I don't think many people in Northern Arizona has even seen the ad, but this is a very clear example, and it's something that it did not work Democrats against Republicans. So we'll be addressing the money in politics again, but today we have somebody with us who has a more
radical, interesting approach.
Okay,
you heard it here first, folks. Clean by 19. Clean by 19 is the mantra of Jim Polaro, who is a Prescott businessman. He's lived here since 64. He even went to ASU. And we're going to let him talk a lot, all he wants to about himself. But what we're primarily interested in is this, like I say, the vocabulary word for the day is audacious, clean by 19. And to make a long story short, which we're not, it's to have publicly funded elections by 2019, to have publicly funded elections. Jim, we want to talk a little bit about what is clean by 19. Then we want to talk about why you're doing this. But what do you got? What's this idea you got?
Well, first, Mike and Steve, thank you for allowing me on the show this morning to spread my message. Clean by 19 is an organization that is has its mission to remove the money from politics. You know, there are so many different, everybody talks about the money. Everybody knows our government is broken. Everybody knows that not only that it's broken, most people say, but it can't be fixed. But that's wrong. It can be fixed. And Clean by 19, with the people's help, will fix it.
So tell us a little bit about the Clean by 19 approach. Because we have one Supreme Court decision after another that's breaking down all restraint in where campaign money comes from. Now, in Arizona, we have clean elections. But you're talking about federal elections, right? Or
yes.
Federal local elections.
Well, federal, local, state. Clean elections. We don't have the clean elections we need. We don't have clean elections
it's
that
true.
Are effective.
It's true. Another Supreme Court ruling was that that if you have a privately funded campaign and you have a clean election campaign, in the old days, the clean election people, if the privately funded guy was spending a ton of money more than the clean election person, then the clean elections fund would give the clean election campaign some money to compete. That was ruled.
Simply put, they cut out half the clean elections law,
yeah.
And so it's limping along on half of that.
But so, yeah, like Mike said, what you got here? How are we going to get to clean elections?
It's really a very, very simple plan, and the plan is that Arizona has a wonderful clean elections program. Maine has a program very much like ours. The difficulty with it is it's voluntary. We need to make clean elections across the country, Arizona and on the federal level, state level, mandatory. Money in politics, private money, by individuals, corporations, simply buys the attention of our representatives. And as you will see as we go through this, this is the reason why Americans are struggling, because no one is focusing on the needs of the public. They have to focus on the needs of those individuals, those entities that provide them the funds to get into office and to maintain office. Without those funds, they don't get elected. It's very, very simple. And so the answer to that is, and there's many answers out there, but I believe, and many other people believe, that the only answer is public funding of elections. And that's what Clean by 19 is all about. We have a plan that is very simple, but it will work. It's a plan that we will prove that it can work in Arizona in 2014, this election. And in 2016 and 18, we will continue this plan in Arizona, but we will also form coalitions with other groups across the country to prove to everyone that money in politics should be a thing of the past.
So what's the approach right now? I know this could evolve as time goes on. You just talked about the election in 2014, 2016, 2018. The mantra is clean by 19.
Yes.
So right now, how are you going to do that? How are you going to get public funding to elect? We just had two Supreme Court decisions. McCutcheon recently, everybody's talking about McCutcheon.
Yes.
Can the democracy survive McCutcheon? And I'm reading articles all over the internet. And, of course, the Citizens United, first of all, making corporations people and then taking all the limits off of, or most of the limits off of campaign finance.
So I guess the conservative or point of view, I'm a great conservative, as you know, point of view would be, aren't you limiting free speech if you have public financing of elections? I mean, that would be their argument. We got more billionaires than you got. You know, we don't want to have clean elections because, you know, we're going to end up with more money than you and then we can beat you. So what's the argument? Are you limiting free speech? I mean, if money is free speech, why can't somebody give billions of dollars to different campaigns? Why can't billionaires fund their own candidates, as happened in the last election?
Yes. Well, elections, as we know, are very, very important. And in order to have the elections really mean something, it means that the election needs to be about the message and not the money. When you consider the fact that only 4% of Americans contribute to political campaigns, and that 80%, this is national statistics, more than 80% of all the money contributed comes from less than 1%. Less than 1% of the population is, in essence, funding our government, getting these people in office. And they have the voice. No one else has a voice.
So you're saying that it's the people who are funding the candidates that have a voice, not the people who are
exactly.
out there voting.
The First Amendment. You know, it's like it's a situation where it is what we need is a constitutional amendment. You cannot have legislation because, as you mentioned, the Supreme Court will overturn it on freedom of speech issues. So we need a constitutional amendment that says all funding of elections will be public, period.
And you have a Arizona State Constitution amendment
yes,
draft.
It's already written. Yes.
You have a United States Constitution amendment draft.
Yes.
So you'd have to amend a constitution in order to do this because
yes.
the Supreme Court will say that.
Exactly.
Because the Supreme Court is moving radically in the
yes.
other direction, handing more and more of the control of mm-hmm. the country to the top 1%.
Right.
And that's been a consistent movement now for
yes.
a
and
decade.
Let me say also that there is opposition from many quarters on this constitutional amendment. They say it's a bridge too far and let's simply pass legislation. The answer to that is legislation will be overturned by the Supreme Court. And prior to that, it'll get watered down like McCain-Feingold. The only answer to this is to have an answer that is proven by the people, asked for by the people, and followed up by a Supreme Court. Not a Supreme Court, but a constitutional amendment. That's the only answer. Everything else will get overturned.
Now, in the Constitution are very broad and a little bit ambiguous rules about how you change the Constitution. How are you planning to do that?
What's the actual steps
yes.
to get the constitutional amendment? Well, again, I believe this is a very simple democratic solution to this, to obtaining a constitutional amendment, and that is the people vote. The people vote, and the people who are going to vote need to tell their representatives that the single thing that's most important to them is getting rid of this private money, these big funders. We need public funding of elections, and if once our elected representatives understand that the people want this, and if the representatives don't, then what we need to do is only elect those individuals for office that do support public funding.
Let's look at this first step here. I see the word petition
yes.
your thing here. What are you going
to do? Well, in order to get our elected representatives to support public funding, they have to know that the people, this is what the people demand. And the way we make that message to our candidates is we conduct petitions throughout the various legislative and congressional districts, and people are going to sign a petition. The petition says we will only support those candidates for office that support public funding. And once you get thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of those petitions, and then you contact the candidates are going to respond because the will of the people is being spoken. And it's not a step that they're going to take easily, because this, as you have pointed out, is a big step.
Nobody wants to go first. I mean, you know, you get the other guys to do it. And I'll, you know, I like clean elections. Most people, I think, most candidates, most politicians are going to say, yeah, I get clean elections, but, you know, this is the kind of thing I'm not going to go first. But
and the candidates, just to add on what Mike said, is the candidates are not happy about spending their entire lives raising money.
Right. Exactly.
So they don't like doing this. I mean, we had complaints from our congresswoman raising money right after she got elected.
Well,
but she doesn't have any choice.
Well, especially
right?
These 2-year offices like the House of Representatives, you have, you know, you're raising money before you get into office. So Jim Polaro's day,
so you want
at least in part, is going to get petitions signed.
We're going to have petitions signed.
And your supporters are going to get petitions signed to present them to
exactly. And we are going to say with these petitions to everyone who's running for office that the single thing that's most important to America and Americans is being able to be represented by our elected officials. Right now, those elected officials they have no choice but to represent the priorities of those people who fund them. We need to change that. We need to have the focus of our representatives on the people at large.
Jim,
everyone.
Information here, printed information, talks about the connection between inequality, which again is all over the news,
yes.
The growing inequality and the dangers. What I like, I guess, is so many of the founding generation, people that founded this country, founding fathers as they're commonly known, spoke about this from day one.
Yes.
From day one, they were worried about that we would make such a fair and equitable country that vast wealth would be possible. And then we would have a government and an army to protect those guys who have vast wealth. So they were worried about the inequality. How does this, and you have it right here, how the solution to America's growing inequality is public funding of elections. Connect those dots for us, if you would, please.
Well, public funding of elections, first off, let me back up and give our listeners an idea of what this money really means. You know, we just heard from Steve that our representatives are spending a tremendous amount of time raising money. The national statistics are they will spend 30 to 70% of their time in office raising money. They could be doing something else. They could be working for the American people, but 30 to 70% of their time is raising money. Let me give you an idea about the money. In the 2012 election, $6.3 billion were spent. That's what we know. The average winning candidate in the 2012 election running for a 2-year congressional term, that on average costs $1.5 million to get elected. Now, if that 2-year term, if you took that $1.5 million and divided it by 24 months, that individual running for office, if they're going to run again and have the same obligation to come up with that amount of money, they have to raise $60,000 every month for the next 24 months. If they're a senator, the average money that it cost to win in 2012 was $11.5 million. They have to raise, a senator, assuming they're going to have the same cost, they have to raise $160,000 every month for the next 6 years. Now, this may sound staggering, but the most staggering fact is the presidential elections that we had. 2012, over $1 billion, $1.1 billion for Obama. Assuming the same amount of money run the second time, that means that the presidential person who was elected, they have to raise $23 million a month, every month for 4 years. Now,
it's going to be more. We know
it always goes up. Every election we break records. And since only 4% of Americans contribute, the money comes from a very, very small sliver of contributors, and those contributors are contributing for a reason. They want their priorities addressed. And I mean, that's
Al Franken isn't sending me emails because I sent him $25. He's not sending them because he likes me?
No.
Okay, all right.
It's all about the money. And, I mean, everyone just saw in Las Vegas, Sheldon Adelson, the Republican candidates for president, hovering around him. He can make or break them.
Do you remember the Adelson figure? Was it 93 million?
In the 2012, it was 94 million. Yeah. That's what we know. Oh. But it's no different than Soros on the Republican side or on the Democratic side, Bloomberg. This is not a Democratic or Republican problem. This is an American problem. Both sides are raising phenomenal amounts of money, and both sides realize that unless they raise the money, they won't get elected.
What I thought was interesting about Sheldon Adelson was he's actually almost the entire spending for Newt Gingrich at one point was hit. He had his own personal candidate.
Yes.
Newt was out of money, out of support, ready to drop out of the race, and Sheldon jumped in and gave him millions and millions of dollars, kept him in the race longer. So, this is where we're headed, folks. I think, you know, at long term is we're going to have billionaires with oligarchs, right? That's the right word, Mike.
Oligarchs, yeah.
Oligarchs.
Right.
Supporting particular candidates and lining up on particular sides, and the American people are going to be hit with all these beautifully produced television spots and mailings and stuff that actually have almost nothing to do with the issues. And an example I used earlier today with the Scott Smith thing, it's just a flat out lie. It's just a smear. You're turning a conservative into a liberal. It's just not true. And that's where a lot of these ads are. And in fact, they'll pick it. So, all right.
Let me mention something here I think is really important. Back before we leave Sheldon Adelson, I want to talk about repeat a quote that he made. He gave $94 million in the last election, and he said, and it was publicly, it was put out on all the media, no rich person should be able to do this. But since it's legal, I am.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, everybody knows this is not the American way. This is not a democracy. This is, you know, Jack,
Abramoff,
who spent 4 years in federal prison.
The only rich guy to go to jail.
Yes. He said, unless you change the system of electing our representatives, our democracy is doomed. And that's absolutely the case. You take a look at the decline of the American middle class. It is a direct relation to our representatives having to address the concerns of the funders and not the voters, not the public. We need to change that.
You know why Monopoly is an old game, right?
Why is it an old game, Mike?
Because old rich people still go to jail and corporations pay taxes.
That is a shocker. I gotta say, I didn't see that coming.
So,
particularly the rich folks going to jail. There's some complaints about the, certain.
And of course, Jack Abramoff was robbed from the 1%, which is the only reason he went to jail. Mm-hmm. All the guys that robbed the 99% are, quite frankly, still making money hand over fist on Wall Street.
Mostly, Edelson's money is coming from China, from huge, very corrupt gambling ventures on Macau. He's not actually making the money from his Las Vegas adventures, but he's now one of the richest people in the world.
Wow.
Okay, Jim, amending the Constitution, how is this going to work? Suppose you get everybody writes your congressman, congresswoman says, look, we're tired of the money in politics. We want to do clean by 19. How does that work? Is the Constitution going to be amended then by a vote in the House and the Senate? It has to be both.
The process has been laid out in the Constitution. It requires 3/4 of the votes of the state legislatures and 2/3 of the vote of Congress and signing off by the president. It's obviously a big step, but the good news is that in all the national polls, everyone, left and right, over 80% of the individuals polled say that money in politics is the problem. Our government is broken. We need to fix it. I mean, so it's, we're going to have a constitutional amendment that the people already want. This is easier than what we did when we, abolition, civil rights, women's rights, whatever. Never have we had such a preponderance of Americans in agreement that this is the problem and we need to change it. And how, again, how do we do it? We simply have the people through petitions letting their candidates for office know that the only way that we are going to get out of this mess is public funding of elections, and we will support those candidates that support public
funding. Now, I guess just let me ask one little question here. So I'm a libertarian. Say.
Yes.
I'm not, but I suppose I'm a libertarian, and I want to run for office.
Yes.
Is this public money going to just Democrats and Republicans?
No.
How does a libertarian or a, what other party, Mike, some left-wing party that doesn't
Green
exist?
Party, for God's sake.
Green Party. Okay. Green Party. How would that work?
Well, the system, the template is already laid out. Arizona's clean election laws permit anyone to run for office, but you have to qualify. Qualifying means you have to get so many, depending on the area you're running, you have to get so many signatures on a petition, you have to get so many $5 contributions, and once you have the sufficient number, you have qualified. There is. Not everybody can run. You have to qualify. Once you're qualified, you then, everybody gets the same amount of money that's running for that particular office in that legislative district. And when you have a mandatory program, everybody will have an equal say. They'll have an equal vote. People have a vote that really means something because the elections aren't going to be bought. It's such a simple system. People say, well, how is this going to work? We've already got the program in the Arizona Clean Elections Act. And on the federal level for the presidential election, we have the Presidential Election Fund. That fund has been there since 1978. You're familiar with it by a $3 checkoff on your
tax reform.
So we make that mandatory. We make Arizona Clean Elections mandatory. The programs are already in place. We simply go out and we make them mandatory. A little tweaking, but we make them mandatory.
I've watched you give this speech and people shake their heads. You know, I've seen you.
Yes, they shake them. Yes.
Right. And one of the reasons I know they're shaking their heads is because, not because it doesn't make sense, not because it's not needed, not because the information you have here about inequality, about all of the problems getting money out of elections fixes. It fixes so many problems. But you're fighting powers. That's why people shake their heads, Jim, in case I'm sure you
know. I know it.
Yeah. I think Mike has a point. And if they're spending millions, if not billions of dollars to control our elections and
get
people elected, why would they let you go ahead and change things so that they would lose power?
The reasons my son doesn't vote, the reasons all his neighbors don't vote down in downtown Phoenix, is because the system is rigged. Their vote means nothing, they believe. Obviously, their dad disagrees. He's been laboring for many years now to do one thing, and that's get people to vote. And get people to vote for the only reasonable party left in America. Well, you know, when the Republicans start supporting women's rights and education and workplace rights, I'll support them, but that's not happening right away. So that's, you have people shaking their head because you're going against powerful, powerful interests. But you think this can be done?
I absolutely think this can be done. And the powerful interests really are not our concern at this point. Our concern in Clean by 19 is really getting the people to come out and realize that they can make a difference. It's about the people. It's not about the interest. Now, the reason people are apathetic is year after year, election after election, nothing changes. You become apathetic. That's the natural course of things. So what we are saying to the people, if you let your representative know that this issue is the most important issue to you, the representatives will have to respond by either supporting it or not supporting this public funding of elections. If they don't support it, we will fight them through rallies, through demonstrations. We will expose the money sources that they are currently having. We will correlate that money to the votes they've made in the past. It will get nasty, but we need to fix this. We can fix this. And as far as the apathetic, as soon as people start seeing our candidates supporting this, and I'm saying Republicans and Democrats, it doesn't make any difference. What we want is public funding of elections, and the way to get that is state legislative members will support it. We will get them in office if they do. And on the federal level, we'll do the same thing. The people have to understand one thing, and this is so important. Why is this one issue, public funding of elections, more important than anything else out there? The reason is, without representatives representing the people, all of our other issues, education, the environment, you name the problem, they won't get fixed. You need representatives in office that are willing to represent the people. And at this point in time, they can't. It's our system of electing the individuals that doesn't work.
Two things. You're absolutely correct. Two things, Jim, I want to talk about before we run out of time. I want to talk about you had some recent so things are kind of moving on the clean by 19 front, and tell us about your website. Tell us where we can get more information. You do that in any order you wish.
Well, first off, cleanby19.org. I ask everybody who is concerned about the economy today and the plight of the American middle class, lower class, even the upper middle class, go to Clean by 19, click the volunteer, leave your name, your email address, and we will contact you, because we need individuals to gather signatures for the petition. So that is vital. Now, as you just mentioned, Mike, we are getting great reception, because when I just gave a talk Saturday to 40 people, and it was extremely well received, because people understand that we are hurting and they like this answer. The answer is not there are many approaches to fixing this problem. This is the only approach that works. The other approaches are, let's reverse Citizens United. That brings us back to 2010. That does nothing.
Now, one question, Jim. We're talking about the money that candidates spend directly. Would this, for example, in that first instance I read off this morning, the ad claims it's an Issues ad. Would this control Issues ad money? Most of us know that the Issues ad money is really aimed at attacking one candidate or another. So it would be all, it would ban the dark money as well as limit the public open financing campaign.
This would ban all monies spent during an election cycle that support or in opposition to any candidate, whether it's indirect or direct. If it supports or looks to defeat a candidate, it's banned. The only funds that can be spent would be the public funding of the elections.
But what if I say to you, Jim, if I say to you, I'm a candidate, I just put this ad on television and it says that this fellow, what's his name? Scott Smith.
Yes.
Is supporting Obamacare. It's flatly untrue. Okay, but I'm saying it's just an issue. How would that be banned? In other words, you say I'm supporting Doug Ducey. Can you show that I'm doing that, or is it how would that work? How would you decide what is actually an issues ad, or would you have issues advertising in this sense?
The issue advertising would be permitted, but again, it could not support or be in opposition to a candidate. How do we do that? We do that because this law, when it goes on the books on the, as a constitutional amendment, there'll be criminal penalties for violation. Not civil penalties, but we're looking for criminal penalties, which means that you violate the law, there will be consequences. And right now, there are no consequences for lying, for misrepresenting. We need to change that.
No.
We can change it, and this law, this constitutional amendment, will change it with criminal penalties.
Yeah, we've avoided the Grover Norquist question here, and yet I think it's certainly a big one. And we've talked about pressuring candidates, good pressure in this case, to do something that everybody knows is right. This is why, as Jim pointed out, everybody knows this is the right thing to do, and yet nobody knows how to get there. Certainly not the elected officials. And so this businessman from Prescott has the audacity to think that he can get all those candidates and enough of the public to sign petitions to influence all of this process.
I do think there are people on the right who really believe that people should be able to, they do believe that money is free speech, and they do believe that the rich should have a bigger say in our country than ordinary folks. They believe that. They believe there should be no controls over spending. That's un-American. Everybody should be able to spend as much as they want. You're a billionaire.
Yeah, but I think that number is small.
Very small.
His 80% figure is valid.
So we're talking about 20%, you think? That?
No, I'm talking about, well, you're talking about really 1% that really believe that. The ultra-rich believe that. And this is not a campaign that demeans the rich, the corporations, even our politicians. These are not, by and large, bad people. It's a bad system in which we have to elect. We need to change that system. Everything will change.
Well, so we got, we want to make sure that this podcast, this broadcast, will be available on our website, bbid.org. And this is a fascinating topic, obviously. This is a big thing. This is, you know, we talk about all sorts of things on the show all the time. This is a big thing. Politically, you know, and we only got a couple minutes left, this is an election year, and so people are afraid of taking attention away from the important work of getting the vote out. And so that's part of the other, politically behind the
scenes.
Tell
us before we give our final announcements, Jim, tell us again the name of your website, how folks can
CleanBy19.org. CleanBy19.org is, go there. The website is not, finished. But it's certainly,
you want to give a phone number email address?
Just the email address. CleanBy19.org is all they need to do. Let me also mention that there's another program out there or another campaign, addressing this, and I'll do this very quickly, and that is less have tax incentives for the general public so that they can make contributions, and then the states will have matching funds with some ratio of maybe 4, 5, 6 to 1, which means I put in $100 to a candidate campaign, I get $100 tax credit, and the state puts in 500, now it's 6. That's a flawed program, because the answer to money in politics is not more money.
Okay.
You know, you're never going to go ahead and outspend the big guys.
Okay.
So,
all right, so Tuesday, April 15th, 1 p.m., Rock House, Yavapai College, 1100 East Sheldon Street in Prescott, is having a board meeting talking about the 10-year plan, which kind of leaves Sedona in the dust.
And this Thursday, Democrats at Red Rock has a breakfast. Terry Goddard's going to be there. Thursday, the 17th. at 8 a.m. It's going to be at the Jewish Center of Sedona in the Verde Valley.
And Terry's running for Secretary of State.
And he's running clean elections. He needs signatures, and he needs small $5 contributions. Donation. He's a great fellow. Come and listen to him and ask him questions.
Thanks, folks.
Been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.